Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. I'll be quick this morning. Someone said that preaching is the art of talking in another man's sleep. I hope that won't happen this morning. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 14. Look there in your Bibles with me. It says, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. God, I thank you for this great commission, honoring church. And Lord, I pray as we meet together this morning that you would bless the preaching of your word. God, I pray that we would worship even as we listen to the word of God this morning, that our hearts would be respectful of your word, that our hearts would be open and ready to respond and obey whatever the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts about this morning. God, help us as individuals this morning to obey your command to get the gospel into all the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach a message in the title of a question, and it's this. The question is this: are we all, and I want you to put your name there this morning, are we all helping to get the gospel to every creature? You see, I know the testimony of Fellowship Baptist Church, that this is a Great Commission honoring church, that you as a church as a whole believe in getting the gospel into all the world. But I'm not talking to the church as a whole this morning. I'm talking to you as an individual. See, it's easy to blend into crowds, but do you believe in getting the gospel to every creature? Are you involved? Are you doing your part in helping Fellowship Baptist Church to get the gospel to every creature? Jesus said they're going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was heard a story by the late Pastor Adrian Rogers. He was visiting someone in the hospital as a faithful man in the church. And this man was on his deathbed. Pastor Rogers knew he was dying. The man in the bed knew he was dying. Went to visit him. The man began to weep. And he said, "Pastor Rogers," he said, I know I'm saved. He said, "I've been born twice." He said, "I'm not afraid to die." He said, "But I am ashamed." He said, "I've been involved in church work for all these years, all these decades, but I've not led one soul to Christ. And now must I go to the one that gave everything for me empty-handed. I'm not afraid to die. I'm ashamed to die." And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Your sins are forgiven. You've trusted in Christ alone as your Savior. You know you're on your way to heaven. But you also know in your heart, man, I've blended in. I've been here, been around. There's really, if I was to point or to think of it, there's not one person that has come to Christ through the grace of God that's been given to me. This morning, you might have to say that the grace of God might have been given to you in vain. That there's not been others that have tasted and seen of the grace of God, of the salvation that God has provided, because it came to you and you've passed it on to someone else. Well, may this morning be a turning point in your life. There's still time on the clock. There's time to change. There's time to reprioritize and make sure that you don't go to the Savior empty-handed. Are we all doing our part to make sure that the gospel gets to every creature? This morning, this may not be happening in your life, I want to give you five quick reasons. I don't know if I'll get through all of them, but I'll speed through them as to why it might not be happening in your life. Number one, you may just need to get your heart right. He says there in verse number 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, they're eating, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You see, one of the reasons as to why the gospel might not be passing from your lips or from your hands to others, and the reason you may not be so concerned about getting the gospel to South Africa or all these other nations, to every creature in the world, is your heart might not be right. You see, Jesus had to rebuke his disciples here. The Bible says that their unbelief needed to be upbraided. The disciples were faithless when it came to the news of the resurrection. Now, you may be sitting there this morning and say, well, I believe in the resurrection. I believe Jesus did rise from the grave. I know I'm saved. I put my faith and trust in the risen Savior. But do you have enough faith to believe that that same Jesus and the one that saved you is the only name and the only way that all the nations of the world can have access to God, the way that they also need to be saved? There's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And the way God saves people is through preachers. The way God saves people is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has chosen the church, and God has chosen Christians to make that message available to the world. So he upbraids them. This upbraiding, that's a strong word. It means to cast into the teeth. It's like taking a rock and throwing it into someone's mouth. That's what Jesus was doing with his words to the disciples at this point. It was a big deal. It was a strong conversation. It was faithful are the wounds of a friend. And with maybe even a soft word, he's breaking the bone at this point with his words to get a point across that, hey, we need to believe, we need to have faith, and we need to have faith enough that moves us to get the gospel to the world. Their hearts needed to be, or their unbelief needed to be upbraided. Their hearts needed to be softened. He said he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. The hardness of heart. They were stubborn, unwilling to change their mind. People had come to them and said, he's risen, he's not there. And they wouldn't believe. How many of y'all have teenagers? How many of you have stubborn teenagers? How many of you have a teenager that sometimes, man, you're trying to pass on wisdom? Like, don't make the mistake that I did. Let me just have this conversation with you as we go from the house to the gas station or from the house to the church. I just want to pour some wisdom into you. And they give you that look. Like, what are you talking about, old man? Like, it's going in one ear and out the other. Like, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. And you're like, no, you don't. Listen. Listen. Sometimes their hearts get hard. Sometimes as Christians, our hearts get hard. We don't have the tender hearts that we should have to the things of God. We don't have our hearts tender to the fact that souls are dying and going to hell. And when the preacher preaches, man, and the Sunday school teacher teaches, it falls on hard soil in our hearts. Someone said that when a lake freezes, it's almost through an unperceived process. That you look at the lake and you're like, I don't think it's frozen or it's even started to freeze yet. It starts with just a thin layer of ice. You could put a pin or a needle on top of it and it'd break through. Then a little bit longer, and before long, a child could walk across that lake. Then an adult, and maybe even a crowd of people. And then you might even be able to drive a car across that ice. It gets so hardened. And so it is with the heart of man. You sit under preaching, you sit under teaching. And you assume that you're a faithful person because you're in the house of God. Before long, you find yourself falling asleep in church. Or you don't even know what the preacher preached about. You read your Bible, you get to the end of it, and it's just a duty, and it really doesn't mean anything to you. You got a hard heart. you remember when you got saved and the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon you? Man, I'm a sinner. I can remember hearing the gospel and hearing that I'm a sinner and hearing that if I don't get saved, I'm going to die and go to hell. And I can remember laying in my bed as a teenager thinking, if what that preacher said was true, I could die tonight and lift my eyes up in hell. It gripped my soul. I can remember listening to a preacher as a teenager and him being red-faced and ate up with the Word of God. And me sitting there, man, God, if you could use my life to do that. Because I saw my friends getting saved. I saw their lives getting changed. And I knew what the Word of God was doing in my life. Respond. They say the easiest or the most sure way of ensuring that your heart doesn't get hardened to the Word of God is to respond immediately. Immediately. Your pastor talked about you don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, of your need of righteousness and judgment to come. When that comes upon you through the preaching of the Word of God, that's when you get saved. But if you harden your heart, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can respond or you can harden your heart and reject that message. And there's no guarantee that you get another opportunity. But sometimes we can harden our hearts, even as Christians, toward this sort of thing. Man, we got to get the gospel to people. We pass hundreds of people every day. We know that there's nations across this world. We can't claim ignorance because we see it on the news. We have so many resources today to put the world before us. And they need the gospel. There's only one name, one way that they can be saved. Is your heart hardened toward that? May the Word of God upbraid you this morning. May it break that stony heart. May you respond this morning before your heart gets too hard. Number two, your heart may need to get right. Number two, you may just need to hear the command again. In verse number 15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The word there, a very simple word, two-letter word, go. I'm from Georgia. Keep it simple. Jesus made it very simple for us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means every color, every language, every race, every tribe, every tongue. We have a responsibility. We have a stewardship to get the gospel that can reconcile sinful man to a holy God. We have a responsibility to get that to him. Go ye into all the world. The best illustration that I found of this, of responding to the word go, is found in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 8, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. But you know the story. It's the story of the centurion. He comes to Jesus. His servant is sick. He's in his bed. I think he's paralyzed. And he says, Jesus, could you heal my servant? And Jesus says, I'll come to your house and I'll heal him. He says, there's no need for that. Just give the word and it'll happen. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9, the centurion goes on. He says this, for I am a man under authority. He was under the Roman government, under Caesar and other superior officers above him. He says, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And he says this, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another man, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You see, the Roman centurion understood authority, and he understood the word go. He understood when a higher-ranking officer told him to do something, he did it. There was no arguing. There was no complaining. There was no disputing that with the higher authority. It was a matter of obedience. And if he gave a command to someone under him, he understood that that person was to immediately obey. Friends, this morning, Jesus has told us, all of us, that the command is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How are you responding to that word this morning? Is there anything, if we were to look not at Fellowship Baptist Church, but into your life, is there anything about your life that gives evidence to obedience to the word, go. That the Lord Jesus Christ, our supreme officer, king, has told us to go onto the world, and you could give evidence that, yes, I believe in the word, go. Here's the evidence in my life. Or would you just point to the greater picture of your church? But there's no real evidence in your life. Let's just break it down a little bit further. When's the last time you gave the gospel to someone? When's the last time you gave a gospel tract out? When's the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Have you even considered the fact that God might use you as a missionary somewhere to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has it even crossed your mind? As a parent, you're a steward. You're not your child's highest authority. God is. Your children are a stewardship of the Lord. You're not to raise them however you want to. You're to raise them to worship and serve and live for Jesus Christ. Do your children know about the command that Jesus has given us? And have you pointed them in every other direction but in the one direction that God might want to use them as a missionary somewhere around the world to get the gospel to the ends of the earth? We must go. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, proclaim it to everyone. Number three, you may need to remember the stakes. I'll probably stop here this morning. In verse number 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You know, some of us this morning, the reason we're not involved in getting the gospel to every creature is because we've forgotten the stakes. Somehow we may have fallen into this trap that, you know, God is love and, you know, surely he's not going to cast people into eternal fire, eternal damnation. Surely they're not going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. God is love. Someone has said God loves all men, and that's true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But understand this, that God will still cast every sinner, unrepentant sinner, into hell for eternity. They will have to leap over the love of God. He loves them, but God is a just God. He's made a way of salvation. He's made a way of escape. But all of our brothers, all of our sisters, all of our family, all of our neighbors, and everyone around the world that does not confess the Lord Jesus Christ, does not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they will go to a devil's hell for all eternity. Maybe this morning we've forgotten the stakes. We've forgotten how serious the matter is. He says there, if they truly believe, they are saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Let me tell you this morning, maybe you're visiting this morning and say, hey, maybe I just need to top it up. I just need to secure this thing and get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is identification. Baptism says, I'm on Team Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I am in Christ because I have believed the gospel. Salvation requires you doing one thing that you can do without doing anything, and that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As the thief on the cross was nailed there, he had no opportunity to get baptized. He believed, he prayed a terrible prayer, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He deserved to go to hell. He was a condemned criminal by his own admission, yet he was saved. He opened up his eyes in heaven. But a person that is a true believer in Jesus Christ truly knows that the Son of God left heaven, humbled himself to the death of the cross, and died in his place for all his sins. Surely that person would follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and identify with him. It's a privilege, it's an honor to be baptized in Jesus' name. But anyone that truly believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. But number two, if they don't truly believe, they are forever damned. He that believeth not and baptized, he that believeth not shall be damned. Judgment day is coming. God has an appointed time for every man will give an account of their life. Christians, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Be a day of rewarding for how we live for Christ, and maybe a loss of rewards for how we failed to live for him. But the great white throne judgment will be for those that have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a scary day for those people. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, that they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, God is a just God. He's given creation every day. There's this witness across the world, the heavens, the earth, the nature, the beautiful mountains of Virginia, everything that declares there's a wonderful God. Even under the curse of sin, this world is beautiful. And it declares that there's a God, a creator God. But a man cannot be saved by a creator God. He has to know the Savior. God's put a conscience in every one of us. Everyone in this room knows when they've done wrong. Your conscience either condemns you or it approves you. So you know you've done some wrong things. You know there's times where your conscience has just really hit you. What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. And you've sinned. You know you're a sinner. But God has given the commission to the church to take the gospel to people, so that they can know their Creator God, so that they can know how to get their conscience right, to get all the sins they've ever committed forgiven, not covered up, but forgiven through the blood, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we have to go and preach the gospel to every creature. This is God's way of salvation. Otherwise, if they don't believe, they'll be damned. It's as easy as this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, here's how easy it is. I talked about the thief on the cross. In Romans chapter 10, I believe, around those verses, it talks about how far is this salvation from us? Do I have to ascend up into heaven, or do I have to descend into hell? How hard is it to be saved? He says, no. The gospel is like a seed. I can put it in your mouth, and I can put it in your heart. As a Christian, as a missionary, that's what I do in South Africa. It takes the burden off me. God does the heavy lifting. I take the gospel as a seed, and I go around and I talk to people, and I put the seed of the gospel. I can put it in their mouth, and I can put it in their heart. But they have to believe it. And there might be someone here even this morning that you've heard, you're a sinner. You know there's something wrong between you and a holy God. And the gospel is sitting in your heart. You know you need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. But that's not enough to save you. You have to receive it like a free gift. The gospel, salvation, is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast, God gets all the glory out of it. But when have you received the gift of salvation? When have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? It's that easy. That a man nailed to a cross, condemned, can be saved. And you this morning, you can be saved. But you must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You say, well, not today. You walk out of this place. The Bible says that the devil's like a bird in the air. And he's waiting for you to say, no, 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 no. And you let that seed sit on your heart. You let that seed sit in your mouth. You walk out of this place and the devil's just waiting. And he's like a bird just going to fly down and take that seed away. And you may never be convicted of your sin again. You may never be reminded of your need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ again. Your heart may be hardened, and death comes knocking on your door one day, and it's too late. Your appointed time has come, and you didn't call upon Christ to save you. And friend, there are people all over this world that have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. All over this world sitting in darkness. All over this world suffering. All over this world where kids are growing up without a mom and a dad. Where they're seeing things that no child should ever see. Growing up in darkness. Growing up abused. All these sorts of things. And don't get an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know there's a God. Creation declares it. They know there's a God. Their conscience is condemning and approving their actions. But they've not heard from the church the commission that God has given them to preach the gospel to all the world. Maybe God would send you. Are you doing your part to make sure that every creature hears the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. God, we ask you to please move in the hearts of your people. Lord, there may be someone here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that you'd please help them not to harden their hearts, God, help them not to walk out of this place without getting that settled. Lord, I pray that you'd please save their soul. And God, for the Christian that may be here this morning, maybe he's hardened their heart, or God, just not where they should be, and they know that they need to do their part to get the gospel to every creature. Lord, please help them to respond this morning as well. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word. Maybe you're here this morning and you heard the gospel. You know you need to be saved. The gospel's in your heart. It's in your mouth. The seed is there. But will you be humble enough this morning to respond?